Now, we're continuing our sermon series this week in pressing issues. And just before Jonathan comes to speak to us on Does Life Have Any Meaning, we're going to turn to the Bible and we're going to read God's Word. So turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. That can be found in the Red Pew Bibles in the New Testament section of the end of the Bibles, page 194. So in our pew Bibles towards the back, Philippians chapter 2, page 194. I'm going to read verses 1 to 18. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andrew. And isn't it great that we're having this sermon series on pressing issues? Because it is excellent to ask and to get some answers to these most important and hard questions. In the Christianity Explored course that some of us have been leading recently, we've been asking similarly big questions. And when I meet with people about baptisms, it takes no time at all before exactly these sorts of questions come out. So I hope this series is giving you confidence as a Christian that we don't need to shy away from big or difficult questions, and that actually through... I'm just being told I'm not quite loud enough. Is that better? Thank you. Yeah, so I hope that you are gaining confidence as Christian people that the Bible has something compelling, something confident to say about these things, and that work in everyday life. Now, incidentally, last week's pressing issue wasn't recorded, unfortunately, but we do have the text of what Andrew said, which I've now put on the website instead. And that was the really important question: is there only one way to God. So if you weren't here last week, I do commend that to you. But today's pressing question is, does life have any meaning? I think we better ask for the Lord's help as we come to this question, so let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us now by your Spirit to give us open ears that you may move our hearts and thrill our heads with your purposes for our lives this morning. Amen. Well, to help me help you, I want you to just do a tiny bit of work on this question for a second. So on your own, have a think. What are the things that give you most meaning or purpose in life at the moment? What are the things that, if you like, get you up out of bed in the morning? Have a think. Now, would anybody be like to be bold and share any of those, I wonder? Gratitude. So your attitude of gratitude. To coin a phrase. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Go on, John.
Being married to Maureen.
Being married to Maureen, brilliant. Oh, wonderful. And for a long time. I heard Jesus, okay. I imagine we might come back to him later. Anything else that we want to share? A sunny morning and the chance to enjoy the wonderful nature that we have. Yes, absolutely. Well, and I'm sure for some of us, it would be about seeing our children grow up, being able to do more than they were a week ago or a month ago. It's our important relationships, family, friends. For many of us, of course, it's doing well enough in school or college to get the qualifications so that we can go and have the sort of future that we imagine. For some of us, our sort of deeper sense of purpose comes from helping others or sharing the goodness of life around us, like Sheila said. For some of us, it's the core thing that drives us is being able to express through creativity the core of who we are. And for some of us, it's about bringing order out of chaos. That's one of my deep-seated purposes in life. And thankfully, for some, it's about bringing peace to troubled situations. Don't we need those people? Well, of course, some of us look for fame and fortune in life and want to leave a legacy into the next life. That's how we can have a sense of meaning. And of course, it's natural, isn't it, that we think of our Nobel Prize winners or our Olympic medalists, our prime ministers and our heads of state. Or we think back to those people who've made great advances in life or made great things, like Brunel or Churchill, the Gandhis, maybe even the Rockefellers of this world. But great as they are, how do they compare with Christ, with Jesus Christ, who, as the Bible testifies and the creeds say, who made all things. Through him all things were made. Can there be an achievement greater than flinging stars into space? Creating the whole universe, the whole diversity of life on Earth from nothing. Maybe you've been watching Planet Earth 2 on the television. Just the amazing marvels of this Earth. Well, for me, God is behind all of that. He looked at his creation and saw that it was good. Or maybe you're somebody that understands that evolution has a part to play in that. But to you, I would still say that the more I read about that, the more I am convinced that it actually needs a very powerful and intelligent designer behind it. Because the chances of having the physical laws of this universe so well tuned that there is any matter at all, or any chance of having the laws of evolution, they're infinitesimally small. Either way, a God-like designer is needed. Jesus Christ, God's anointed King, is all-powerful. We can see that from just the world around us. And we're used to hearing about powerful people in our world, aren't we? Some, of course, go to any lengths to gain enormous power. And in some places where they can remain unchallenged for a long time, they can then become very ruthless about getting rid of any possible opponents. Even in our day, we think of Robert Mugabe, Saddam Hussein, the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. And even, it seems, unfortunately, Vladimir Putin is going the same way. The last thing that they ever do, these dictators, is give up power, even when the whole of the United Nations might be set against them. But Christ, the all-powerful, the maker of everything, he does that strangest of things. In verse 8 in our reading from Philippians, you might want to turn back to it. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and he humbled himself. Or as the Message translation puts it, he didn't claim any special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. He acts like no other. He gives away all the power that he has. Well, how does God the Father respond to God the Son? Well, it continues in verse 9. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue. One day this will happen. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Soon we're going to be singing the song, the new song. I wonder, Sam, could you move us on a slide so we see the lyrics? No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and honor and worthy of power and all praise. Words taken from Revelation. And then words taken from this reading. His name is exalted far above the earth. His name is high above the heavens. Give glory and honor and praise unto his name. So in the giving up of his own agenda, of his own status, and his own power, he was freed to serve his heavenly Father wholeheartedly. And God honored him and confirmed that he will have the greatest name ever spoken. So in every generation, as Christians gather together like we are now, we find it natural to honor and to give Jesus his worth in worship or worship. And this is actually one of the ways that we as Christians are to lead this world, demonstrating through our worship just who Jesus is. Our worship music may be out of tune. It may have dodgy rhythms, and I can say this as somebody who is involved. But God minds none of this as long as we are coming with honest hearts, lifting high the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be able to look at these guys afterwards, am I? No, it's great to have, and it's great to do it as well as we can. But the most important thing is what's going on in our hearts. So, if we have the next slide, which should be blank. Why am I going through all of this? What does this mean for us? Well, Paul, in writing this, is reminding us of this so that, let's look back at verse 4 to see why he's telling us this. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's about a giving up, isn't it? A laying aside of power. Well, did Paul follow his own advice? Well, I think he did. We see in the next chapter, he says that he considered all his achievements black bin garbage, if you like, not even fit for recycling. rubbish compared to the all-surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And this is no small boast for him, because elsewhere that we see that he was considered one of the highest achieving Jews of his generation. In this passage, in verse 17, he goes on to say, even if I am executed here and now, even if this is my last day, I will rejoice in being an element in the offering of your faith that you made on Christ's altar, a part of your rejoicing. Even if I was today, he knows that he has been part of something amazing. That's the confidence that he has in his new mission. He knows that his legacy won't be in buildings, but in the lives of people who have come to trust in the living God and walk with him. Yes, Paul has this new vision for life. He was caught up into this new meaning, the mission of seeing the kingdom of God advance. This was Jesus' mission, and we can join into that same mission, taking our methods from Jesus. So as we go about this, we must too not use force, not use power. They don't work for God's kingdom. Jesus gave them up, and so must we. The Christian in mission, therefore, does not go with a fist closed around a Kalashnikov, but opened with the offer of peace and mercy, willing to die. The Christian resists the lure of powerful people and instead goes to the poor, the marginalized, to those who can't speak for themselves, to those who can't pay us back. We think back over the last century or two, we think of Wilberforce and his friends in Parliament in this country, bringing about the abolition of slavery, standing up for those who couldn't speak for themselves. We think of Christians, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, working against apartheid. We think of the people today who work for an organization such as Stop the Traffic, working against modern-day slavery. And we'll also be hearing in a few minutes a different example from Merle and Ian when they come and talk. But goodness me, doesn't this sound a bit daunting? This work of building a kingdom? Maybe you think this is beyond you. Well, God has a place for each of us in this kingdom building work. We won't see it completed in our lifetimes. But as we get involved, actually, we find something amazing happens, that he pulls at us with a promise of a fullness and a kindness beyond our current limits. Until we discover a fullness and kindness we wouldn't have been believed we could manage. It's not just building something out, he's building something in as we do this. But it's definitely not an example of something that we can do on our own. We can't be like a Christian James Bond, off to fight and vanquish. This is one of the reasons that Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit and the church. To strengthen us, to encourage us in this kingdom building. All Christians have a gift or one or more gifts from God to help build up the church. And as we use them, that is part of our daily worship to God. Please don't let your God-given gifts lie unused. It reduces your worship and it affects the rest of us too. Even if you might be housebound and are listening to this on the recording, we all have a ministry of prayer for the work of God's kingdom in this place. Well, I want to show you just a few pictures. Maybe Sam, you could bring the first one up. Does anybody recognize any of these characters? This is in here with the benches moved to the side as part of our holiday club in the summer. It was a fantastic time. I was so privileged to be a part of that sort of thing for the first time myself. And the next slide. And we had 50 youngsters. We were singing, we were making crafts, we were learning new things. And the next slide is most of the team that were helping. Not quite everybody was there. We all had different gifts. We were all being stretched to do new things. I certainly was. But through God's Spirit, he equipped us. He brought us together. And we were doing something amazing, teaching these 50 youngsters about the love of God in a way that I think will always stay with them. Well, a few minutes ago, we thought of those things that bring us meaning and purpose. And those were good and positive things. For the Christian person, bringing somebody else to Christ is, I think, the greatest thrill that this life affords. Not just because it brings God's good gifts to them in this life, but it changes, of course, their eternal future. In God's heavenly age, where his kingdom is fully established, we won't be singing the praises of Churchill or Brunel, but they haven't done things that can affect God's heavenly age or bring people into it. But we will be remembering those who have brought us the good news about Jesus and have encouraged us and built us up in the faith. Living a life with God might not see you climb the tallest of mountains or get your name put on a great house, but I think this is the greatest adventure and a foretaste of the heavenly age. So for me, life's ultimate meaning is the adventure with God, building his kingdom. Why don't you commit to that purpose today as well? If you'd like to do that or talk more about what you think God might be calling you specifically to do, please do find Andrew or myself afterwards and we'd love to chat. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for inviting us into your great project, the building of your kingdom. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the church, and we ask that you will make us more ready and welcoming of your work in our lives and to support our church family in mission. Amen.